and I can see a star shine, and its splendor fills up the sky. It's the same that appeared and the wise men revered when hope was born this night. Out upon the snowy fields, there's a silent peace that heals, and it echoes the grace of our Savior's embrace, 'cause hope was born this night. Singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. I can hear the Christmas bells ring as softly a church choir sings. It's the song used to praise the Ancient of Days when hope was born this night. There are angels in this place, and my heart resounded the praise. Like a shepherd so scared, I'll rejoice and declare that hope was born this night. Singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. I know hope was born this night, because Christ was born this night.
Been a busy day, a busy season, and here's my invitation for you this evening. Take a big breath, big breath. Let it all out and relax and quiet your heart before the King of Kings, the Christ child. As we gather here for worship, I wasn't sure where to do this, but I think this might be a good time. You've been hearing about the storms through the middle part of the nation, Tennessee, Mississippi, up through Indiana. Some deaths, some families that were expecting a good Christmas, and tornadoes. What's going on? A new civil war in Burundi. Surfacing, similar to the old Rwanda Hutu Tutsi clash. News finally realizing in the vast persecution and martyrdom of Christians, they're finally saying, this sounds sort of like genocide. Wow. Can you just take time and join with me? Lord God, we pray your guidance, and we pray for families around our world on this Christmas Eve that are suffering brokenness, storm, sorrow, fear. We pray for them. And as we celebrate, and as we think about the birth of Jesus, Lord, we open our hearts to you. May your name be praised. We ask in the name of Jesus. Listen to this word of the psalm. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Wow. Time of worship.
Oh, come, O ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of ages. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing.
Join me in unison prayer together, please. God of glory, your splendor shines from a manger in Bethlehem, where the light of the world is humbly born. Into the darkness of human night, open our eyes to Christ's presence in the shadows of our world, so that we, like him, may become beacons of your life, instruments of your peace, promoters of justice, defenders of all, for whom there is no room. Amen. This evening, we're going to let the story be our message. And so those that are going to help us with the readings, I invite you to come to the platform. Hear the word of the Lord, the story that has brought forth this great celebration of Christmas.
The prophet Isaiah foretold the coming of a Messiah. He said, The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warriors and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can this be? How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you the good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children."
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her.
name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, light of the world, rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
Days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said."
Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham, and his children forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee light above deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together, sing to God the King, and peace to man on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His hand. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven,
praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Christmas Eve. It's one of the most magical, wonderful times of the year. Someone who works with children, I get to see that up close, the excitement in their eyes. They have been kind of really wild the last week or so. But, you know, we're enjoying it. We love that. You know, a lot of people complain about the commercialization of Christmas. That the grab for the almighty dollar has destroyed the true beauty and wonder of Christmas. And I agree with that. I think that's absolutely true. But Christmas isn't the only thing that's been affected by over-commercialization. Football has also been affected by commercialization. You know what I'm talking about? See, there's this game coming up. I've heard about it. I've never watched one. But it's called the Super Bowl. And supposedly it's two teams that play, and the one who wins is the best team, I guess, until the next year starts. And it used to be a football game was played. It was interrupted periodically by commercial announcements, and then the game would continue. But it's kind of morphed into something different. Now it's this competitive commercial program that's periodically interrupted by a football game. The first year that the Super Bowl was played, and I looked this up because I have a lot of useless information in my head, but this was not one of those pieces until recently. I looked it up. The very first 30-second commercial spot on the first Super Bowl cost about $42,000. That's a lot of money, at least it is to me. Last year, the average 30-second commercial on a Super Bowl cost $4.5 million. That's more for 1 second than the first commercial stop cost in the first Super Bowl. $4.5 million. When I used to work in a bank, we had a term for those kinds of people. We called them more money than brains. But you're an advertiser. You're going to throw $4.5 million at 30 seconds of time. So you'd really better know what you're doing. And there's these companies, advertising agencies. Their job is to do the market research and the demographics, and they track trends, and they form focus groups, and they determine what the best, most effective commercial will be. Now, they charge a pretty penny for that service. I'm going to tell you, after 50-some years of watching commercials, I know what those secrets are. And I'm not going to charge you anything. I'm going to tell you right now what they are. It's very, very simple. Two components create the perfect commercial. The first component is a hook. See, now with technology, you can very easily skip past commercials. So there has to be something in that first 2 seconds to get you to keep watching what they're going to do for the next 28 seconds. So it has to be a hook. Now, there's four kinds of hooks. The first hook I'm going to talk to you about has been around for, well, since there's been advertising. Beautiful bodies. There have to be beautiful bodies. If they show you a beautiful body in the first second or so, chances are you're going to stick around and see what else is going to happen. Now, we've expanded the definition of beautiful bodies. It was primarily beautiful women bodies, but now we're implementing beautiful men bodies. That's fine with me. Now, there's something very important, though. The beautiful bodies should not speak. Ask me why, I'll have two words for you. Matthew McConaughey. You remember those commercials where he would ramble on about, you go forward, you have to step back. And the car commercial is probably saying, what is going on? By the way, I'm going to be talking about and referencing commercials. I'm going to try not to use the products because I don't want you to think I'm endorsing anything. I'm not. Therefore, purposes of illustration only. So the beautiful bodies don't say anything, don't do anything, just stand there and gesture towards the product. That's the hook, and it's been used for 100 years. Now, the next kind of hook is the adorable animals, right? Whether it's a lizard selling insurance, or a camel celebrating Wednesday, or horses with big furry feet, animals sell products. Now, it's particularly interesting if the animals do something that is unanimal-like, like frogs singing the name of their product. So animals have been long used in advertising, and they do a good job. Dogs are so cute. Cats, chimpanzees, you name it. Advertisers have used animals as part of their advertising. The next category of your hook are cute kids, right? Cute kids, if you have cute kids and adorable animals, you can't go wrong. Now, I have been told I am not allowed to roller skate ever again. But when I watch those little, that commercial, you've seen the commercial with the little babies and they're roller skating and they look so cool and they make it look so effortless, I'm almost tempted to lace up a pair just to see if I can do that. Or the baby that talks about investments and he gets upset when his mom takes his cell phone and makes him take a nap. I mean, that's adorable. That's great. And those commercials, people love them. Now, the fourth and probably most recent category of hooks are sassy senior citizens. I think this trend started many years ago when a little old lady looked at her hamburger and said, "Where's the beef?" Remember Clara Peller? Yeah. I think she made it into the Advertising Hall of Fame because of those three words. The hook is what gets you to stick around to see what they're advertising. Now, the next part of a very popular commercial is a twist. That ending that makes you go, "Oh, I didn't see that coming." Now, I talked about how the fact that Super Bowls have become over-commercialized, and I think it was a Super Bowl commercial starring a Super Bowl football player that probably started this, and it had a twist. This guy's name was Mean Joe Green. You probably know this commercial. Mean Joe Green. I don't know if he really was mean or if it just mean rhymed with green and they called him that. But in this commercial, and this is a famous commercial, Mean Joe Green is limping down this tunnel to go soak something, I guess. And this little boy catches up and says, "Mean Joe, Mean Joe, great game," or something to that effect. And Mean Joe lives up to his nickname and says, "Right, right." Kind of blows the kid off. But the kid is not to be deterred. "Mean Joe, do you want my soda?" "No, kid, no." "No, really, take it. You can have it." So Mean Joe takes the soda from the child. And he drinks, and he doesn't say anything. And the little boy, dejected that his mean hero has not acknowledged his gift, sadly turns and walks away. And then Mean Joe calls, "Hey, kid!" And the kid turns around, and he does something really disgusting, I think. He throws his disgusting, dirty, sweaty, smelly, game-worn jersey at this poor child. Now, this child was apparently raised right, because even though someone has just thrown a disgusting, sweaty garment at him, he says, "Thanks, Mean Joe!" And he's really excited. I hope his mother washed that as soon as he got home. So there's the twist. The mean football player kindly gives the child a stinky souvenir. And that's the twist. And see, a lot of the successful commercials have that twist. Now, there was a commercial last year. You might not have even seen it because it was only aired once and it caused such an uproar that the company that made it didn't end up getting it on the Super Bowl at all. It starred a little puppy, a little yellow lab. There's your adorable animal. And the puppy had grown up on a farm, but he ran away because sometimes puppies do that. And so the commercial kind of was a split screen between the owner walking down the long lane, "Buddy, Buddy." The puppy's name was Buddy. She wasn't just calling that randomly. "Buddy." And Buddy never came back. And then you see Buddy experiencing different adventures, getting messy and muddy and dodging cars. And then one day, Buddy's owner looks down the long lane and she sees this little puff of dust, and it's running, and she goes, "Buddy!" And she runs towards Buddy, and Buddy runs towards her, and she scoops him up in her arms, and she hugs him. She goes, "Buddy, I've been so worried. Where have you been? Oh, I'm so glad you're home." And then she walks back to the farmhouse, and she hands Buddy to a man in exchange for a fist of dollars, and the man puts Buddy in a white van that says Smith's Puppy Mill. And the van drives away with little Buddy looking out the back window, very sadly, very forlornly. And people were in an uproar. "Puppy mill's bad. Puppy's good. How could you do that? This is not..." I don't even know what the company was. It was some internet-based company. And they, I guess, thought it would be a joke. They thought it would be funny. People did not. Apparently, they didn't run that by the focus group. Yeah. So those are examples of commercials that worked, commercials that didn't. Now, I want you to kind of join me in a massive focus group, because we're going to think about how we can introduce this product, Savior of the World. Now, it's never been done before, so we've got plenty of latitude, folks. We can do just about anything. We've had lots of superhero movies, so there's a lot of templates we can choose from Ant-Man to the Hulk. Although, quite frankly, a superhero you can step on does not seem to really, you know, instill a lot of confidence in me. So I'm thinking, I don't know, something big. Costume, I don't know if we go retro with robes or maybe a cape. Do we do a helmet? I don't know. But you know, there's all different kinds of things we can do. Now, mode of transportation. Horse with wings and fiery eyes, or maybe some sort of supersonic jet plane that allows the Savior to go all around the world. And of course, every superhero has to have a gimmick. You know, Thor has his hammer. Wonder Woman has his lasso of truth. I would pay anything for a lasso of truth. And I'm thinking, Savior of Mankind. Just throwing this out there. How about the cone of conviction? Yeah? You know, he puts it over the person and they become a Christian just under the cone of conviction. Now, the other thing is that we have to figure out how to introduce this character. New York, Los Angeles, London, all fabulous cities, big cities, lots of media. I'm going to throw out a dark horse candidate for the city of introduction, Sydney, Australia. Because don't Australians have the most awesome accent in the world? I mean, really, an Australian could read the phone book and people would go, wow. So if the savior of the world had an Australian accent, he might not even need the cone of conviction, you know, because people would just hear him talk. Follow me, mate. Yeah. I guess if 21st century people had to decide how the savior of the world would be introduced, we would have messed it up royally. We would have. Because God went with something entirely off the map. A baby. A baby, a helpless, defenseless, innocent, crying, whimpering, can't even walk or talk or feed itself. Baby. I've been spending a lot of time with a baby, in case you haven't realized. About a year and a half ago, some people said to me, "You're going to love being your grandmother." And I may have responded less than enthusiastically with, "Go ahead and take a long walk off a short pier." But you know what? I actually do love it. Sam is, well, of course, he is the perfect baby. I know some of you might disagree. I'm sorry, Nancy. You probably disagree. That's okay. But he is just, he's just the most awesome baby in the world, and he adores me. And why not? Babies have a way of insinuating themselves into your lives. I'd forgotten that because my baby's old now. She's 18 or something. I probably should have that number in my head better. But babies have a way of just making you fall in love with them. And they don't even try. They just are. So out of all of the different options that God could have gone with, God chose a baby. A baby that would grow up fully human and fully God, experiencing everything that we experience. The pains and the joys, growing pains, puberty, and all of those things that make us wonder, oh, human is hard. Jesus went through that because in order to be our Savior, he needed to understand exactly where we're coming from. So this Christmas, you know, if you're fussing about the commercialization, it is. Yeah, there are stores who are still open now for those last-minute shoppers. What a shame. You know, if you haven't bought it by now, you probably don't need it. It's my humble opinion. Don't worry about that. Block that out. That's not important. What's important is that little baby, that innocent little baby that left heaven, all-powerful, there at creation. And he's trading that for a bed of itchy hay for all of us. So this Christmas, don't worry about presents and relatives and all the stuff and all the hustle and bustle. Spend a few minutes focusing on that awesome gift. That gift of innocence and sweetness. And if you meet a baby, you might want to give him an extra hug just because it's a nice thing to do. Check with the mother first. But, yeah, we want to love on our babies because Jesus represents the most amazing baby of all. Have an awesome and wonderful Merry Christmas.
Broken world came the light of God. Jesus, our Lord. A an infant. Firm, yet mild, took on the forces of evil, and we are told, defeated Satan. For as we think of the birth, we also look ahead to his crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. And now, as we come to faith in him, he says, now you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that people may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Loves pure light, rain.
with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Prayer is that you will enjoy your Christmas. You will let Christ be real to you. And then, let's let our light shine. For Jesus is the hope of our world. Thank you, Pastor Judy. Thank you for Jason and the team with music. Frank, Kathy, Angie for readers. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jerry, Linda, on the technical end. Thank you, everyone. Please join with me in this prayer for Christmas in closing. Oh God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infects our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love. And work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish all your purposes on earth. That in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and fill you with his peace. Amen.
Thank you.